On behalf of Daleville Christian Church, I welcome you to this abbreviated online Christmas Eve candlelight service, focusing on the God's Word portion of that service. It had been hoped that both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day services would be live, in person, and commercial free, but the winter storm has forced us to go online only for the services. Whether video or audio only, it is hoped that you will experience some of the blessing that our Lord intends for you as so many celebrate the birth of the Savior, Jesus. We always share an affirmation of our faith, and this one from 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. The reading of God's Word for this evening is from Luke's Gospel in the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 20, the full report of Luke's the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. All this season here at Daleville Christian Church, we have been talking about angels. Our worship team invited the congregation to share angel figures from their home for all this December. I learned recently that most Americans believe in angels, but here is the strange part. Most Americans believe in angels whether they claim to be Christians or not. Since angels are mentioned so many times in the Bible, I guess I kind of assumed that if you believed in angels, you were a believer in the Christian faith. Not true. Lots of folks believe in angels. I don't think it would surprise you if I said that angels are spiritual creatures. We don't physically see angels all the time, everywhere. The Bible even claims that we might not know an angel when we do see one. Hebrews 13:2. Last September, I began some sermons speaking about spiritual reality. There is such a thing as spiritual reality. To put it another way, what we call reality is what we can see, hear, touch, taste, with our senses. But that does not give us a complete picture of reality. We are created body and soul. Spiritual reality may not be available to our senses. So having discovered that more people than Christians, and not all Christians believe in angels, we know that there is a large group of people who claim to be spiritual, but not religious. There are two groups of these people. The first group are those who consider themselves spiritual, but say their religious faith is not very important in their life, though some may claim a particular faith community. The second group, spiritual but not religious, are those who do not claim any faith at all. And it's hard to gel them down on any particular belief. They value the freedom to define their own spirituality. Now, I won't give you a quiz on any of this, but I thought you might like to know what researchers are saying about all of us. And I, as a minister of God's Word, am called to speak to all of us. And you should suspect that I have my own limits. I can't claim someone is or is not spiritual, or how. I only know my experiences in my tradition, the Christian faith. So the Bible and the spiritual world is real. Science fiction becomes helpful here. When science fiction talks about multiple worlds, or multiple timelines, or worlds within worlds. As I understand the Bible and my experience, the physical world is mostly congruent, that's a mathematics term, mostly congruent with the spiritual world, even as there are parts of the spiritual world not available to us in the physical world. Why all this talk about the spiritual world and the physical world? Because Christmas is all about the spiritual world breaking into the physical world. Sometimes when people see the spiritual world break into the physical world, people get frightened. That's why over 100 places in the Bible, God or the angels or Jesus have to say to us earthlings, "Fear not, be not afraid." Parents, do not parents and teachers have to tell children and students, "Settle down, calm down, don't get excited"? And the parents and the teachers are only human. But we know that it's hard for us to communicate to emotionally charged kids. And it's hard for spiritual beings to deliver messages to people shaking in their boots. So to appreciate what we celebrate on Christmas Eve, shepherds, sheep farmers, although the word farmer makes them sound more settled, while shepherds are more like nomads, wandering the countryside for the sheep. And what we might not know about shepherds is that nobody in the Jewish ancient world thought of shepherds as religious, and no one thought of shepherds as spiritual. We're pretty certain that shepherds didn't consider themselves spiritual either. Okay, so the Bible shows us a group of guys, not spiritual or religious. They have an angel of the Lord show up. So this could be even more frightening, since the shepherds are not given to thinking about religious or spiritual things. The shepherds can't go to synagogue. They can't pray at the hours of prayer. And even if they want to keep kosher, as we say, shepherds can't do it. Shepherds back then were lowlifes. Me, I don't judge, but I study history. But unless you know that the shepherds were considered lowlifes, you are not shocked when you read in the Bible, Luke 2:9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to those shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. God's messengers, spiritual beings, had crashed into this quiet, low-life shepherd gathering. And as we should completely understand, the Bible then states, they were filled with a great fear. That's what the Greek language in which Luke wrote states, that the shepherds feared a great fear. I imagine this is a fear more like an infantryman enduring an artillery attack. You just hug the ground and you can't stop shaking. Involuntary shaking, like shock. And so the first words out of the angel's mouth, don't be afraid. And I assume that the angel's voice had to be comforting and soothing to really be able to communicate anything to these guys who may have only experienced a thunderstorm as the closest thing to a fearful situation. Then this unbelievable message. The angel's message is unbelievable for two reasons. It's a message about spiritual things. It's a message about spiritual things given to guys who are not spiritual or religious. To you. To you is born this day. This day, a Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. Messiah and Christ being the same word in two different languages. So these guys who may have never considered needing salvation, they get the news that they have a Savior. Now I imagine that up to now, the shepherds were impressed, but I can't be sure how impressed they were for guys who were never known as religious or spiritual. But things were about to get real impressive spiritually and physically. Luke chapter 2 verses 13 and 14 tells us, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This Savior will mean peace between God and humanity. Peace between heaven and earth. Now my experience is, and in all I have read, it's very easy for even modern people to believe that God is angry with them. And since we really live a pretty cushy existence in America today, imagine what these words mean to guys on the bottom rungs of their people. And why might the shepherds think they were on the bottom rung of their people? Because they made God angry because they were neither spiritual nor religious. But the spiritual world will punctuate this message of a Savior and a Messiah for these guys on a hillside. News of a Savior, and then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. We talked about a host of angels last Sunday, the heavenly host. It means a lot of angels. It means a number without measure, as many angels as there is sand on the beaches. Now, something else about spiritual reality. Things that happen in spiritual reality don't happen for our benefit. The spiritual world operates on its own. That means that the angels were singing God's praises before the shepherds saw them, and the angels would still be praising God after the angels went away into heaven. The shepherds got a window to see the angels praising God because God wanted the shepherds to be able to see the angels, the host. The angels gave the impression that they were pretty excited about God's plan going forward with the birth of Jesus. Tomorrow we're going to talk about all the things that God got done to pull off this Savior, this Messiah, this good news that would be for all people, even shepherds, even lowlife. So this is why the sanctuary looks as it does this evening. The shepherds were in darkness on the hillside. Angels are often described as bright lights like snow with the sun glistening off of it. So this heavenly light, this spiritual light, this spiritual presence that we experience as bright light literally broke into the night sky, broke out of the night sky. The veil of heaven was taken away. The physical world pulled off to reveal this heavenly sight, an angel army. And they're chanting or they're singing, glory to God, all praise be to God. The good news is happening for the shepherds. And since it is spiritual good news, it's happening for you, and it's happening for me. I haven't an endless army of angels to show you. We looked at some artists' renditions of an angelic host last Sunday. But take some time and contemplate spiritual reality. A spiritual reality that has come to us physically in Jesus' birth. A Savior, the Messiah. We can be completely saved, body, mind, and spirit. God wills to redeem His whole creation. Amen.